Okay, we're ready. Right, Chris? All set? Okay. I'm Frank Picozzi. I'd like to welcome you here tonight. Just to give you, I think everyone here knows the history of the Bayside Sewer Project and the challenge it's been over the last couple of decades. The project, it was all slated to be done when I got here. Last thing I had to do was sign the contract. Before I would do that, we had a lot of, we took 7 months. We had to go over some things. One of them was I charged our new sewer authority director, Betty Ann Rogers, with reducing the rate that the Governor Francis III, Phase III, was paying. Their assessment was, I believe, $25,900. They did a lot of work with the finances with the sewer authority board, and they were able to get it down to $16,900. And that gave me the market what I wanted to get this project down to. This project, it was told to me it would be between $25,000 and $31,000. That's way too expensive. And from research I did, it looked like it was going to be $35,000 or in excess of that. What I've done is used American Rescue money to offset the cost of this project. And it's probably going to do it $10,000 to $15,000 per household. The $16,900 for the assessment is carbon and granite. It will not go up. And I promise you that. That's a contract. It's not going up. The other costs associated with hooking up will be addressed by our panel of experts because I'm not the expert. I want to state that I believe the city should be sewered. I think it's best for the environment. I think it's best for the people. And that's why I'm for it. I've done the best I can to make this as affordable for everyone as I can. And I sleep well at night knowing that I have done that. You may not agree with the amount, but this is all I could do. So we have a presentation tonight. Then it's be opened up to comments or questions. I ask you to please keep it civil and polite and productive. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. My name is Todd Ravenel. I am the project manager for the Bayside Sewer Project with the firm of GRA out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Tonight, I would just like to give you some basic information on the sewer construction, what it entails, and what the extent of the project is. Just to give you some idea of what the project entails and the limits of the project will extend from Tidewater Drive and Appanog Cove on the northerly side, and will pass down through Long Meadow and continue to Rocky Point Ave and Palmer Ave to the south. So it's a pretty extensive project. The sewer system to be installed will be a pressure sewer system. Each home will be serviced by an individual pump, known as an E1 pump. The pump will be installed on your property, and the pump will be provided by the Warwick Sewer Authority. The Warwick Sewer Authority will be providing additional information on these pumps. There is some information available here tonight, and there will be additional information placed on the city website in the future. This has been a challenging project to design. I'm not sure if you're aware, but this project, the northerly half, is located within an area containing a significant concentration of Native American cultural materials and features. The site is known as the Mill Cove site, which was a Shawmut Native American village. Due to the substantial concentration of cultural materials and features, we were forced to utilize some innovative methods to provide sewers to this area and also to minimize archaeological impacts. As such, we decided that the project would utilize pressure sewers. This is the best way to allow us to mitigate any archaeological issues that could come up during construction. Unlike gravity sewers, gravity needs to maintain gravity flow pressure sewers, we have a lot of flexibility in where we can place the pipe if we need to avoid something that we may encounter, such as a cultural artifact. The northerly portion of the project will be installed utilizing trenchless technologies, while the southern portion of the project will utilize standard cut and cover open trench construction excavation methods. Trenchless technologies that we'll be using on the northern part. Yeah, the lighting. I don't know. I have no idea. Turn these on. Can everyone see that? No? We cannot turn off the emergency lights. Okay. Okay. Let's give it a minute. We cannot turn the lights off on the stage. Those are emergency lights, but we'll see what we can do. Can they turn up the mic?
We are working on figuring out what's going on with the streaming link. Hopefully it'll be up momentarily. What we are working on, ma'am. Yeah. The link is being worked on by our IT.
Or Is he having a problem? He's gonna give us the cue.
Okay. Give him one more second.
It appears to be working, but let's give them one more second. I see them some activity up there. All set, Chris? Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's continue. I assume everyone can now see the screen. As I was stating, the northerly portion of the project, due to archaeological culture features, materials that were found during the design process, we decided to utilize trenchless technologies on the northerly portion of the project. What trenchless technologies are a form of underground construction that requires the use of limited trenches at surface or street level. These trenchless technologies utilize equipment and install underground infrastructure without causing disturbance to the ground above and can minimize traffic disturbance. In this case, it's actually being utilized to mitigate impacts to cultural materials and features. Okay, the project for construction purposes has been divided into six areas as shown on the aerial plan. The purpose of the work areas is to contain the construction work to confined areas rather than opening up the entire project to construction work. So we're trying to have the contractor work in certain areas. We've divided the project here into six areas as shown on the aerial. Area 1, 2, 3, and 4 are located in the northerly section of the project, and again, they'll utilize trenchless technologies. Areas 5 and 6 on the southern half will utilize, again, cut-and-cover methods, open trench, excavation methods, methods that you've probably seen performed throughout the city in the past. The complete construction sequence has not been completely established. We're working with the contractor who will be D'Amber Construction Company. D'Amber Construction Company has done a number of sewer projects in the city, so we're confident with their abilities, but again, we're working with them to develop a complete schedule. We do have a 90-day schedule that I will present to you later on. We will take the questions once the presentation is complete. In more detail, what we want to do, this is just a breakdown of the different areas. Area 1, Area 2, and Area 3. I won't read through all the street names. Then we have Area 4 and Area 5. Everybody able to find their street? And then we have Area 6, which is furthest to the south. And again, Area 6, that's complete open cut. Just to give you some background information on the project, we'll be servicing 935 residential properties. We'll be installing roughly 54,000 linear feet of new sewer main. Approximately 55% of the project will be done using the trenchless technologies. 45% will utilize the traditional open cut method. All residents within the project area will receive a new service, new sewer service and service connection. We would note that these service connections are only for the discharge of sanitary sewer flows. They're not to be utilized for groundwater, stormwater, pool discharges. That's prohibited by law. Next, we have the service connection forms. These are very important to the project and important to you. This is a card that we have available here tonight. We'll have it available in various ways. But what this service connection form does is this tells us where we're going. This determines where we're going to place your service connection. And basically, this is determined by you, the property owner. And it ensures, it helps to ensure that we put it in the most practical and hopefully most economical location for you. And it's based largely on the, basically many times it's based on the location of your existing on-site system. You want to try to make the connection as short as possible. We also base it on the need to avoid other utility services such as gas or electric or something else that you may have on your property, and we want to try to avoid disruption to sprinklers, fences, and trees, not just during our construction, our installation, but during your install. During the design process back in 2019, we did distribute service connection cards to assist us with the design. We received about 460 cards completed of about 935 that we had distributed. So this is about 50% of the cards. This helped to assist us in the design of the system, especially within the sensitive areas. However, at this time, we're going to have everybody redo the cards. Things may have changed, ownership may have changed, so we need everybody to update their cards. The service forms, as I said, they're available at this meeting. You can take a form with you, you can complete it, and you can return it to the Warwick Sewer Authority. You can also make an appointment with a field inspector to discuss the service, and you'll be able to make an appointment online in the upcoming weeks at the Warwick Sewer Authority website. In addition, we will have a field inspector distribute cards on site, leave them at your door, and you can complete them in that manner, and the field inspector can pick them up. What to expect during construction? You'll have heavy construction equipment in your neighborhood, excavators, loaders, trucks. This is part of the construction process. There will be some temporary road closures. We will provide signage for it and detours and police details. You will also see temporary stockpiles of material along the side of the road, sewer pipe along the side of the road, manholes, gravel, bedding, and possibly other trench boxes. But they'll be placed along the side of the road. You will also see temporary patching along lengths of completed sewer pipe and along utility trenches. Coordination with the residents affected by sewer construction. We'll notify you in advance when we're working on your street if your driveway will be closed so that you can move your vehicle. And we will try to give you as much notice as possible so that we do not impact your work schedule. We want to make sure that during the construction process that we maintain the roads in an acceptable condition. I would note at the end of the job, when we're complete with the sewer installation, you will receive the roadways will be repaved, a new roadway surface. So if you have any questions during the construction process, we will have contact methods on the Warwick Sewer Authority website, email, phone number, that you can contact. Please contact the Warwick Sewer Authority first before contacting the mayor's office. Because if you do contact the mayor's office, they call the Warwick Sewer Authority. So please contact us first. Use the contact numbers that we provide. Last slide here, anticipated work schedule. This is the 90-day work schedule that I mentioned. The plan at this point will be to start work on Tidewater Drive on the northern portion using implementing directional drilling and trenchless technologies. And in addition, Area 6 is the location. This is an open cut excavation area. And based on the time of year that we're starting, it makes sense to go to Area 6. And these are the streets that we anticipate: Mayflower, Alden, Standish, Priscilla, Cliff, Chapin, Brighton, Ridge, and Palmer. So those people will probably, you'll see some activity in those areas, especially with the service connection cards. With that, I'd like to hand it to Betty Ann to discuss assessments and costs. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming tonight to discuss the Bayside Sewer Project. I'm Betty Ann Rogers. I'm the new executive director of the Warwick Sewer Authority. I've been with the Sewer Authority for 25 years. However, in January, I had the distinct honor of being appointed to the executive director's position by Mayor Frank Picozzi. The 25 years that I've been with the Sewer Authority, I was in a pre-treatment role, basically looking at pollution indicators in different industry and commercial facilities in the city, permitting over 650 different locations. So I have a lot of experience with wastewater, but my passion and my mission is definitely to spread the knowledge of waterborne pathogens in wastewater, how to prevent that, and how to enhance public health in our water and through our waterways, protected waterways. So the sewer collection system and the treatment facility are paramount to protecting public health and enhancing water quality, especially in areas where we see cesspools and inadequate septic systems. So I'm sure that many of you tonight have been waiting for sewers for many years. This is a project that has spanned decades. Excuse me, may I finish, please? May I finish, please? Thank you. So this is a project that has spanned decades, and I'm hoping through this meeting, whether you're here in person or you're live streaming this meeting, that we'll be able to provide you with the information that you need to feel. If you don't feel good about sewers, you'll feel better about sewers, hopefully. Okay, no guarantees. However, one of the things that's very important that I want to mention is that waters that surround the Bayside area, like Old Mill Creek, they've been closed for decades. And just this year, DEM declassified another area outside of Old Mill Creek, and now it's prohibited. 52 acres are prohibited to shell fishing, which is very important. And I'm certain that for all of you, water quality is very important. Otherwise, you wouldn't be living in a beautiful area like Bayside, so close to the waterways. It's very important. I'm not going to take any questions or answer anything that's addressed to me during this. At this point in time, please, if I could continue. Water quality is very important to all of you, as it is to us at the Sewer Authority. And it's not just tonight. It's not just the 3 years that it's going to take to complete this project, but it's for all years to come, for future generations. One of the things that we say in public outreach about wastewater is the water we have is the only water that we'll ever have. It's up to all of us to protect the waterways surrounding Rhode Island, especially in the Bayside area, because it's very important to you. It's where you live. It's your home. Now, I know that water quality is important to you, but I know there are other things that are very important to you, like the finances, okay? Grinder pumps and other things. We put together a substantial list of facts, questions, and answers. Those fact sheets are available at the back of the room as well as downstairs. The questions that I'm going to be answering through the slides are questions that were brought to us via the public, emails, phone calls, letters. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to address most of those questions you have, but then we do have a public comment period to follow. And it's not working. Todd? It's not. It's showing there, but it's not showing. It's not projecting up there. So we're going to have to change it manually? Okay. Okay, so we're going to start our discussion with a conversation about the assessment fee. So the assessment fee is based on the equivalent dwelling unit method. And what we see is one single family unit being $16,900. That's the assessment. It's not going to increase. That is what you will be charged. And you'll see that there are increases based on two family, three family, and that's based on 1.1 equivalent dwelling unit, 1.2, so on and so forth. So you see incrementally goes up to five family dwelling. I believe that's the maximum for this particular project, and that's why we've included it in this slide. The fee includes engineering, design, and construction administration costs, materials, including the grinder pump. I know there was some misinformation that was out there. I had a few phone calls and emails from individuals that thought that they had to pay for the grinder pump separately. You do not. It is included in the assessment fee. The paving that Todd mentioned earlier is also included in the assessment fee, as well as labor costs. During the construction of the project, there will be labor costs associated with the assessment fee. All of that is included in the fee that you'll be paying, $16,900. The payment period is 30 years, but the assessment can be paid in full if you are fortunate enough to be able to do so, and you may pay that in full without any penalty. The assessments will be billed at the completion of the project, the entire project. So although we'll be doing the project incrementally in different areas of the Bayside community, you will not receive an assessment bill until the project has been completed. As far as the interest rate is concerned, and I know that this is a concern for all of you, there have been years of work on this project, and the loans that the Warwick Sewer Authority has taken out to accomplish that work, some of those loans have different interest rates. We are also applying for more funding in order to progress with the installation of sewers. And because of that, these loans will have different interest rates. So we will be averaging the interest rates to come up with a final interest rate that will be applied to the assessment. The 1.25 above the average is the rate the Warwick Sewer Authority is charged on loans to fund the project. So that will be added to the average interest rate. There are some undeveloped vacant lots in Bayside that we will be providing a sewer service connection to. And the reason for this is because we have no intentions of going back into Bayside once the project is complete. Each of those vacant properties will be assessed one EDU. If it's developed, if it's a larger property and it's developed and there are multiple units on that property, it will be assessed accordingly in the future at the rates at that time. If you sell the home, the sewer assessment, and its sewer assessment is not paid in full, the buyer will assume responsibility for all of the remaining years of the assessment. The seller is responsible for only those amounts billed prior to the sale of the property. That's the same one.
I'll check to make sure this is the right one. Okay. So we do have a program. It's the on-site wastewater treatment system deferment program. It's for new systems only. Some of you have been waiting for sewers for many years and have opted to install a new septic system. So new systems only, no repairs or upgrades to an existing system, they will not qualify. So we have a regulation that states that we may defer sewer assessments against any parcels if the owner of a parcel has installed a Rhode Island DEM permitted on-site system within 20 years of sewer service initially becoming operational, provided that such parcel shall remain subject to assessment and shall begin paying such assessment 20 years from the date of the installation of the on-site system or upon connection to the sewer, whichever comes first. So essentially that means if you've installed a approved on-site system, septic system within the last 20 years, you can request that your assessment is deferred. If you installed the system in 2015, you can request that your assessment be deferred until 2035. So that's how it works. Residents must request the deferment, which is then reviewed by the Warwick Sewer Authority. It requires a written request with name, property address, date, system was installed, and a certificate of conformance from Rhode Island DEM. There's a link, it's also present on our website. You can use that link in order to obtain the certificate if you don't have one already. And then you would provide that to the Sewer Authority for review. When that deferment period ends, the assessment will be billed at the same amount in the same rate. We're not looking at it increasing that based on 20 years from now. You'll still get the same assessment and the same rate. If you connect the property to the sewer system during the deferment period, it's possible your septic system will fail. I mean, it's possible. And if that should happen and you want to connect to the sewer at that point in time, the deferment would end and then you would start paying the assessment. Not working still. Just my presentation, of course. A treatment system is functioning properly, you would not need to connect to sewer. However, there are requirements for certain properties to connect. If the on-site system fails, you would be required to connect. If the property sells or transfers ownership, the buyer would be required to connect within 1 year of sale. Should the buyer not connect at the end of 1 year, they will be charged sewer usage fees as if the owner occupant were connected. That's a policy. If the property is serviced by a cesspool and is within 200 feet of a coastal feature, drinking well, or other body of water, you would need to connect. Presently, there are 36 properties within the project area that meet this requirement.
There were also many questions from the public regarding low-pressure systems and grinder pumps. The grinder pump is included in the assessment fee. I need to emphasize that because there were many people that thought that they had to buy the grinder pump separately. The grinder pump comes with a 5-year warranty, which requires a startup inspection by a representative of the supplying company, which is FR Mahoney. All of this information will be present once connections are available. Homeowners' responsibility for upkeep and maintenance of the pump is mandatory. And one of the things that we heard from the public was that there are no other places in the state of Rhode Island that have low pressure systems or use grinder pumps. And any locations that do have grinder pumps, they are purchased, they are maintained by the municipality, the town or city. And I reached out to several of the different wastewater treatment facilities, towns, cities in Rhode Island, and I did receive a response from a few: Bristol, Narragansett Bay Commission, South Kingston Regional, East Greenwich, East Providence, Jamestown, Burrillville, and Cranston all said that the grinder pump is purchased by the homeowner, property owner, and that it is absolutely maintained by the property owner. They don't incur any of that expense. It's important to know if you qualify for deferment, you will still receive your grinder pump. It's included in the assessment. Even if it's 20 years from now, you will get your grinder pump at the time of your connection, regardless of whether you connect as soon as your service is available or if it's 20 years from now. Another big question that people had was regarding anticipated power outages. Residents are advised when there's an anticipated power outage to evacuate the pump, so they allow the water to run, the pump to turn on. It evacuates the pump, and you can have up to 70 gallons of waste space in a singular pump. Grinder pumps can be evacuated also using a small generator. 3,500 to 4,500 watts is acceptable for evacuating the pump. This is a 240-volt, 10-amp pump, so a generator of that size, possibly even a little smaller than that, would be more than adequate. Extended power outages, the Warwick Sewer Authority will provide a one-time pump out free of charge. So we do have an individual that comes around and will pump out your, turn it on. It's free of charge. And also, it's important to note that National Grid has low pressure areas with grinder pumps as VIP locations, and they are the first to be restored with power when there is a storm or hurricane or applicable power outage because of some type of weather event. These areas will receive priority from National Grid. Optimal placement of the pump. People had questions. Todd, you alluded to this a little bit earlier. When your the representative from GRA comes out to your home, you can speak with them about areas where you might not want the pump to be, okay, and where that service is going to be left to accommodate you. All of that can be conveyed to the engineer. People were also concerned, public were concerned about their sewer usage bills. How does that work? There are sewer usage fees, a service charge fee, and a renew and replacement fee that will be found on your utility bill. Once you're connected, you're using the sewer, you will receive additional charges on your quarterly, what you get now, your quarterly water bill. The sewer usage fee is based on water consumption. So you will be billed based on 100% of the water that you purchase. It pays for collection and treatment of your wastewater. It also pays to maintain the pumps and pipes and pump stations associated with conveying your wastewater to our treatment facility. Current residential usage rate is $47.80 per 1,000 cubic feet of water. I don't know that there are any commercial properties, people here that have a property that's zoned commercial, but the rate is $73.24 per 1,000 cubic feet of water. Service charges are flat fees. It's one flat fee that's applied to your bill, and it helps to pay for debt service, as well as general administration and billing activities. Current residential service rate is $31.72. And commercial service rate is, it varies depending on the size of your water meter. There's also a renewal and replacement fee, which is based on water consumption, and collective fees are set aside in a dedicated fund for necessary capital improvements to the city's existing wastewater treatment infrastructure. Current renewal and replacement charges on all accounts is $6 per 1,000 cubic feet. Do a lot of outside watering. You have a sprinkler system, you have a swimming pool, you have other types of outside water use, that you consider purchasing a deduct meter. The deduct meter will measure the amount of water used outside, and that will automatically be deducted from your sewer usage fees, as well as your renewal and replacement fee, which are based on water consumption. Many of you have expressed concerns about the finances and have requested information on hardship and financial assistance. And there are programs within the city that will provide for some assistance for you. There's the sewer tie-in loan fund, STILF, and the sewer tie-in grants. There's also a temporary hardship program. Now, in order to obtain information about this, there's additional information on our website. There are programs within the city. You can speak with other individuals, city employees, about these programs. But the STILF program can allow you to borrow up to $10,000 if you needed it for a sewer connection. Most sewer connections are much lower than that. Sewer tie-in grant programs can amount to $1,000 to assist with part of the cost for tying into sewers. And there's also a temporary hardship program for qualifying residents that have some type of a hardship, like injury or illness or something like that, related like that. So at this time, we're going to open up the public comment period. And if you want to make a public comment, you would be required to sign in at the podium up front. There's already a list.
There is another sheet there. I have the original list up here, and we're going to be calling the names of the people that signed in.
That would be great. Thank you.
Please hold your questions till your name is called. First person on the list is Paula Brousseau. You're here for both. So if Paula Brousseau can come up, if she has, you're right there. if you haven't already signed up, please let the people that have signed up have their moment. So, Paula, you, Mrs. Brousseau, you said you wanted Mark to take your place. Okay, that is okay. So, where's Mark? And, sir, before, can you please state your full name for the record?
And Scott Goodenson, and the extension of 20-year board member Gary Jarvis to serve on the WSA board. Even though, and as well as another individual, hi Betty Ann, 25 years. Even though these individuals are responsible for the continuing mismanagement of WSA, in fact, during their tenure, WSA was cited by DEM for the 2018 sewage spillage, along with other numerous problems and cost overruns. To make matters even worse, this year alone, there have been at least five large sewer breaks, including Sandy Lane and West Shore Road. Now, let me ask you this. These are the people you're putting in charge of a massive sewer project in the tens of millions of dollars? How is this overhaul of the WSA? If you pledge something in your campaign and then put the same people on the board that are responsible for many of the problems that we're facing with the sewer system, how is that change? Thank you.
I posted for an interview, directors. I don't know if that'll be any better. Okay. I posted for and hired a new director after an extensive interview process, and I brought Matt Slicher on board. I don't see where the board of the sewer board is responsible for failures. Some of the things you talked about, the Sandy Lane collapse, that's not the fault of these people. Sewer mismanagement over time. And I have new leadership at the Sewer Authority. She was not the director. She was not the director.
Excuse me, but failure does not factor into my position prior. We became the first, came in first place for national pre-treatment program. We were nominated by EPA on three different occasions. Yes. So as far as pre-treatment is concerned, that was my oversight. I did not have any oversight at all on the collection system, for the record.
Yes, I used to go to the mic.
My name is Paula Brousseau, and I live on the corner of Katy and Tidewater. I have a few questions. First of all, Mr. Mayor, you said the price was capped at $16.9, but yet For a two-family, you go almost 2,000 more. For a three-family, you go, what is the difference? It's the same pipes that's going across. What is the difference that we have to pay a higher price than a single family?
A single family house is $16,900.
Yes.
And then you saw the scale up.
Yes, and I'm asking you why. The price is higher. They are the same pipes. They're not going any further or anywhere else. What is the reason for that?
Betty Ann?
I can't hear you with your mask on,
please. Can you hear me now?
Thank
you. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
So the difference would be if you had 935 single dwelling units or you had a four family.
Matt, we can't hear you. Speak right into it and loudly.
The impact from a four family, a three family, or two family is greater. So therefore, there's more effluent to treat. Although it is the same pipes, you're generating more wastewater.
And we're paying for it with the sewer bill. We're going to be paying more for a two-family than a single-family with the sewer bill and water usage. I'm not understanding. I think we're getting screwed all the way around.
Well, I think you are, sir, I think you are talking about that, but if you'd like to come up to the microphone, we can discuss it. So the load on the system.
Have a two-family. I have five bedrooms. A lot of single families have five bedrooms.
Correct. But you do have a two-family with five bedrooms.
I'm sorry?
You do have a two-family with five bedrooms, correct?
Yes.
So if you had a 10-unit dwelling, should it be the same amount of wastewater discharge?
Same pipes. They're paying more. They're paying more for their usage. Yes. So, I don't think it's fair what you're doing. I really don't. And I don't think you really have a good answer for us. My second question is, has DeAmbra done drilling before? Have they done drilling before? Or is this going to be
DeAmbra has done directional drilling currently. They're working down in South County, doing a very similar project to the one that we have proposed, and that was bid.
Say that again.
They are currently doing almost a similar project down in South County.
Who, DeAmbra?
DeAmbra is, yeah. Yep.
Please let the person that is up for public comment their questions without interruption from the rest of the public.
Who are they subbing that out?
Have your turn.
Are they subbing that out? And if so, are the person they're subbing it out, have they done it before?
Hemlock drilling would be subsurface drilling, and horizontal boring would be the choice of DeAmbra Construction for their subcontractor. They've been vetted. They conform to all of the standards that need to be done.
Okay. And I have one last question, and this is from Mayor. These pipes are going into city property, city streets. Why are the residents required to pay for them?
That's how the sewering project and work has been going all along. Other projects were also paid for by the residents in that area. This is not unique to this area. And I tell you, I wish the city could pay for it all, but we can't.
I still don't I understand there are other pay for them, but I don't understand why. So those are my pipes. I'm paying for them. Those are my pipes.
No more than the streets are yours when we pave it.
No more than the what?
Then the streets are yours when we pave it with city money.
Then why am I paying for them? Why do I have to pay for them? Why isn't the city paying for them? And the other thing, you said you've got 33 people that need these sewers, and there are how many, 400, 500 families that don't want them, but the ones because of those, why don't they get septic systems? Instead of making all of us get sewers that we don't want, can't afford, might have to sell our houses. I've lived in my house for 42 years. My husband and I are retired. For sale signs going up pretty soon. Thank you very much for screwing us.
Mm-hmm.
Next person for public comment is Jason, and I do apologize if I mispronounce the last name, Streis. Jason Streis.
Hi, I just have one question. I live on a deeded road. I live on a deeded road. I have access to it. So how is that gonna? I live on a deeded road. I have access to it. So how is that gonna affect everything?
He's on a dead end road, and he's inquiring on access.
Yeah, it's a deeded road. I have access to it, but I don't own the road. How's that going to work?
Sir, can I get your exact address so I can answer it?
Yeah, 24 Mayo Lane, and there's one other house right next to me.
So are you inquiring about access in and out while we're doing construction or no?
Yeah, so how is that going to work with the sewers, and if the sewers go in, so how is it going to, because the road's all dirt. So, is it going to be paved too, or is that not, how's that going to work?
So I believe that Mare Lane is an unimproved road. It's a gravel road currently, correct?
Uh-huh.
Is Mare Lane an unimproved road right now? It's in gravel, or is it in pavement?
It's dirt.
It's dirt. So what would happen is you'd be notified because you're on a dead end, as well as everybody else in the project, that we'll be coming to your road. We'll give you ample time to move should you need to move in and out. The construction company would make provisions for you to get to and from your house.
And I currently have a septic that still works really good, so...
Well, when did you put the septic in?
Huh? I bought the house 8 years ago, so the septic's already been there.
So, as Director Rogers stated, from the time that you put the septic system in, you get a 20-year deferment, which means that you will pay your assessment in 20 years, whatever the remaining is, from the time that you put the system in. So 8 years ago, so you have 12 years left on that. You have 12 years left on that deferment.
Oh, so it's already going. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, it's in fairness, I mean, it started when you put it in. If you would put one in yesterday, then you'd have 20 years from yesterday.
All right. Well, that's...
And that would be your assessment. I just wanted to stress this for everybody. Your assessment will be in 20 years, 10 years, or 15 years at today's dollars and assessment rate. Not what the rate is in 20 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person on the list is Karen Jenks.
Hi, my name's Karen Jenks. I live on Riverside Ave. First, Mayor, you know, I'm kind of disappointed because before you were elected, I talked to you and you said that you were going to sit down with us before you sign this, and now it's you signed it and then you talk to us, which I think is kind of unfair. My other problem with this is the fact that my neighbors, 2-3 houses away from me, paid what we should be paying now. If you did it like everybody else in my neighborhood has already had it done, I'd be paying $4,450. Now you expect me to pay $17,000. How is that right that half the city gets to pay $4,000 or $5,000, and we have to pay $17,23. I mean, you're expecting us. I've been in my house for almost 32 years. So by the time we pay this off, I'm going to be in my late 80s. My husband's going to be in his 90s. Half the people on my street are retired. So this is what we get to look forward to in our retirement, and what we get to look forward to give our kids. We get to leave them a bill of 30 grand to put in sewers by the time we're done paying interest in a 30-year loan and all that. You know, you're making money off of us, you know, but my biggest point is, how can it be right that half the city gets to pay $4,000 and $5,000, and then you expect us to pay $17,000 and up? How is this even right?
I agree. I wish this project was done a long time ago and was more affordable. I really do.
Well, something should be.
But the last the last sewers that were just put in, they paid $16,900.
And they shouldn't either. They should be here fighting it too.
And also, and I understand it's not fair, but as I told you, about $10,000 to $15,000, depending on where this lands, was taken from American Rescue Funds that no one else is going to get to offset the cost of this to the residents in this area.
But half the city's already got that benefit. You know, you're not going after them for any more money to catch up to what we have to pay. So now you're saying we're supposed to be grateful because you got it down a little bit. But they're still not paying.
Ma'am, I didn't get it down a little bit. I got down nearly half. Nearly half. I've used funds that no one else is getting. I've done as much as I can to be as fair as possible. And I agree. This should have been done decades ago. The circumstances didn't let it get done.
But it's three times more than what my neighbors paid. Two houses away from me.
I understand that.
So how is it right? How should we be forced to pay that? This seems like a city problem, not us. You know, we didn't screw it up. We were ready back then.
Okay.
You know, this shouldn't be put on us. This is something the city did wrong. Maybe you came into it, but you took on the job of it. So you should be the one to be figuring out, and you. And you seem to have an attitude with all of us that we should be grateful. But none of us are grateful for this. None of us wants a $30,000 bill that's going to and have to worry about if we lose power, we can't flush our toilets. And we have to do this in our retirement and leave this. This is what we get to leave our kids. You know, I don't know why you people think we should be grateful for this. Because we're not.